open the Word of God this morning, I do want you to be aware that Beverly Kirby has gone home to be with the Lord last night. Hugh called me 6:15 this morning and said that that she had died. We do not have yet plans as to when the memorial service will take place, but I'm sure that when the time comes, we'll get the word out. So I want you to be aware of that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to John, the first John, I should say. The first John, that's little John, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the first six verses. First John, chapter 4. Well, now that Thanksgiving is over, suddenly we're staring Christmas in the face, right? 24 more days till Christmas. I say that, and I wonder sometimes how people respond, and maybe some of you get a little, you know, a little nerve-wracked here because you suddenly realize, oh boy, now the countdown is here, and you know, we have cards to send out and address, we got gifts that need to be purchased, we have parties that need to be attended, and we have planning and decoration and all this kind of thing. And in the midst of all of this, you know, I just want to stop you for a moment. I want to say, oh, okay, this is fine. I think it's wonderful. We have some of the traditional things that we do during Christmas, but let's always remember whose birthday we celebrate. You know, the festivities and all the things that go on at the time of Christmas is it can be really wonderful, so long as we don't forget the reason for the season. See? And sometimes what begins to happen is that we get so caught up with all the other things, and you know, here comes baby Jesus, and we sort of piecemeal him in. Now, we've got to remember something. The world around us is offended by Jesus. Know this now, okay? The world around us is offended by Jesus, and they would rather say Happy Holidays rather than saying Merry Christmas, because Christmas is Christ's day. So if anybody needs to celebrate Christmas in terms of what Christmas really is all about, it is us as Christians. We need to lift him up. It is his birth that we celebrate. So for the next several Sundays, and traditionally in the church's calendar, the next several Sundays are known as Advent. And the word Advent means coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I want to be able to do during these next several Sundays is really kind of lift up again the significance of his coming. And as we are focusing on that, then we can really look at what the true joy of Christmas is all about. And this passage I shared with you, I want to share with you this morning, is 1 John chapter 4. The passage is John saying to his believing church fellow Christians that he says, I want to warn you. He says, there are different kind of spirits out there. And we need to come to grips with this. What is, if someone comes to you and say, now that's the spirit of Christmas, what does that mean? What is the spirit of Christmas? I want to read this passage and just the first six verses and talk about that and talk about what Christmas really means. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and we have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who was in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them, but we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, I want to share some things with you here this morning, because as we're very aware, we are living in a world today in which people don't want to talk about Merry Christmas. They would rather say Happy Holidays. And the reason is that the word Christ in Christmas begins to offend people. And so, again, we're living in this politically correct kind of era in which, you know, we make sure we've got to keep separation of church and state and everything else along this line. So we don't want to bring Christ into these festivities. And the interesting thing is that little by little now, the very festivities that celebrate the very heart and faith of our of what, who we are as Christians suddenly also is being attacked, so to speak, from the world. Now, you know, I expect that from the world. But I think what we need to come to grips with as Christians is the fact that we need to reinforce what it means to be Christians and who we are celebrating during this period of time, because we are God's people. And I think this is one of the most wonderful opportunities for us to be able to share the wonderful love and the grace of the Lord as during this time of Christmas. So what I want to do is really focus on several of these verses. And it starts off here in verse 1 where John is saying, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Which means, point number one here is that we need to examine the crisis of the Christmas spirit. There is a crisis. It was interesting some time ago, just this past week, as I was watching television and people getting ready for Thanksgiving and so forth. And there was a reporter that was interviewing some children, and they had gathered a lot of gifts and so forth and groceries and so forth. And they were getting ready for Christmas to distribute these gifts into the community. And then he made the comment, he says, "Now, isn't this exactly what Christmas is all about? Gathering and then giving gifts." And in essence, yes, it is true. You know, this is what Christmas is. It's a sense of giving. But we've got to remember, the sense of giving is not the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is the fact that God gave His Son. God gave His Son. And as a result of that, we now want to be able to reach out to people and encourage them and share with them the love of God. So it's kind of interesting as you think about Christmas. You know, we are so focused on the symbols of Santa Claus and all this kind of thing. And I wonder sometimes if that doesn't take precedent today. You know, what really Christmas is all about. And so John is warning us, even in his day, he says, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world." And what's interesting is in John's day, these false prophets and teachers and so forth were called Gnostics. They had a belief in God, and they would accept Jesus, but they would not accept the fact that God came into the flesh of a human being. And so they would talk about, it seemed like God was human, but God would not take on human flesh because, you see, material things are evil, and God would not touch evil. So that was their theme. So here were people that were coming out of the non-Christian, non-Jewish world, and they were coming in with different ideas and so forth, and John says, "Now watch out. Be careful. There are people who will talk about God, there are people who talk about Jesus, but they will not accept Jesus, who He is." And as I think about that today, as when we think about the spirit of Christmas, you know, what kind of message is being developed today in terms of the spirit of Christmas? I think, first of all, it rests on a false myth. You know, we're very much involved with Santa Claus and the giving of gifts. Now, let me make a parenthesis here. I'm not anti-symbols and Santa Claus and a few things along those lines. Don't misunderstand me. I want to make sure that doesn't become the heart and focus of what we're all about when Christmas comes. Because you see what's so interesting? Santa Claus has become the picture of God today. And this is kind of what God is. God is this wonderful, jolly man who just looks at our situations and comes around once a year, checks up on us, and, you know, wants to make sure that we're good. But, you know, He gives all His gifts to everybody. He never talks about sin, never talks about evil, never talks about death. It's sort of this idea of just giving, and God is this wonderful person who just gives these wonderful gifts. And that gives us a false picture of who God is, because the picture that we have from Scripture is that here is a God who is a holy God, a God who is a just God, a God who looked at the world, and the reason why He gave the gift of His Son is because of sin. because of a broken relationship with God. Because of sin, there is suffering, and because of suffering, there is death. And God says, I need to do something about this. So God met us in the midst of our need and gave the greatest gift of all, the gift of redemption, the gift of salvation. And He takes our sin very seriously. And He doesn't just give us, you know, looking at all the boys and girls, you know, make sure that you're good now. Make sure you're good, because once in a while, you know, Santa Claus will come around and check up on you whether or not you're going to get good gifts. God looked beyond our sin and He saw our need. In the midst of our sin, He came and He gave His gift in spite of ourselves. That's His grace. So we see that there is a spirit today of Christmas that rests on a false myth. But also there's a spirit today that it responds to a false message. You know, for many people, the true spirit of Christmas joy is the result of buying and giving gifts. You know, there's a message there in terms of make sure that you buy the right gift and give the right gift, and somehow that is the spirit of Christmas. And let's face it, many merchants today really believe, you know, man, if people aren't buying gifts today, the spirit of Christmas is kind of sour, you know. It's bad for the cash register. And there's also, you think of the whole economy of the United States. Man, they're all checking up on what happens during this period of Christmas. Is there enough merchandise being sold so the gross national product, you know, continues to go up and we're going to be good with the stock market and so forth, and we finish good? We've got to be so careful of that. And then, of course, there are the service workers who expect, you know, if it's going to be a wonderful spirit of Christmas, they will make sure they've got some good fat tips. Or white-collar employees, man, they hope they have some good bonuses. And children will evaluate their take by counting their toys, and while many parents are kind of looking out, see if it's a good, great Christmas on the basis of how many Christmas cards they get. So you see, there's the variety of different things, the different messages that come across. But you see, again, the spirit of Christmas that God gives to us in the person of Jesus Christ, you know, is not in material things. It's what God makes available to us that we may come into a relationship with Him. And He meets us in the midst of our need. That's the wonder of the spirit of Christmas. So, we examine the crisis of the Christmas spirit, but then evaluate the criteria for a true Christmas spirit. You know, what is the believer's criterion? Well, as we look at John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming and even now is already in the world." The issue of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, is Jesus. Who He is, that's the critical thing. We're not just celebrating the birthday of a wonderful teacher, a wonderful human being. We're celebrating the birth or the incarnation of God coming and touching human history. Now, as we evaluate the criteria of a true Christmas spirit, boy, you take a look at this. First of all, the true Christmas spirit celebrates that God keeps His promises. That's what we're celebrating. God keeps His promises. In fact, in verse 2, notice what it says here. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come. Now, notice this now. Has come in the flesh, but notice that He has come. Jesus, the Messiah, has come in the flesh. I want to emphasize the fact that the Messiah has come. When we talk about the joy and the wonderful spirit of Christmas, I want to tell you, the greatest joy is knowing that there is a God who keeps His promises. Keeps His promises. And, you know, when you think about Jesus making claims of, you know, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one." You know, in the beginning was the Word became flesh. And all these passages of Scripture that portray Jesus in terms of God coming in the flesh. You know, for someone to make claims like that, we would have to say, wait a minute, you know, who does he think he is? You know, Is it possible that Jesus was deluded? Is it possible that he was, you know, a liar? Is it possible that this is just all a bunch of legends? These are the possibilities. But you see, what we have is a record in the Old Testament. We call these prophecies. And just highlight a couple of these. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 18, when we look at Jesus, we look at him as being a prophet, a priest, and a king. Why is that? Because this is the way the Old Testament portrayed a Messiah who was going to come. In Deuteronomy 18, 18, it says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him." Also, we find that Jesus was viewed as a priest. And again, this was prophecy. And I'm just hitting just three verses here, but look with me at Psalm 110. First of all, at verse 1 and then verse 4. Psalm 110 says, "The Lord says to my Lord..." Now notice this. "The Lord, Jehovah, says to my Jehovah, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And verse 4 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And this was a futuristic statement of someone who's going to come. David says, the Lord God, said to my Lord, Jehovah..." You know, in other words, he's saying, God spoke to God and basically said, you know, you will be a priest. And the one who came was going to be a priest. You see what I'm saying here? These were promises made in the Old Testament that someone was going to come who would be a prophet, who would be a priest, but also who would be a king. And for that verse, we would look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness." And that refers then to the coming Messiah. He would be a prophet, he would be a priest, he would be a king, and here comes Jesus. God keeps his promises. And so we celebrate today, not only in the festivities of a holiday, we celebrate an event. The spirit of Christmas is the event in the sense that God keeps his promises. You know what that means for us today? That means that he keeps his promises for us as well. When he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," know that he keeps his promises. When the Lord, you know, says to us that he will keep us and no one will snatch us from out of his hands, he keeps his promises. That means a great deal. That he is a prophet. He has spoken. The word became flesh. He is a priest in the sense that he offered his own flesh, his flesh and blood, for a sacrifice on that cross. And he is a king. He ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God the Father. That's good news. That's something we celebrate. That's something that the spirit of Christmas, I hope, just permeates your heart and your life. We are not little strangers here on this planet called Earth. There is a God who loves you. There's a God who's concerned about you. There's a God who became involved with you and me in terms of our whole history. Praise the Lord for that. But then also, as we think about the criteria for the spirit of Christmas, also it communicates that God became a person. A person. You know, again, going back to 1 John chapter 4, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, has come in the flesh. He's come in the flesh. Remember, the Gnostics basically denied that. They said, no. It was either some angel or some other lesser being, or somehow this Jesus had the Christ Spirit come on him at baptism, and then later on at the Garden of Gethsemane, suddenly it left him because he was in total agony and so forth. That was Gnosticism. That's what they believed. And John is writing against that. He's saying, no, test those spirits. That's not what the good news is all about. The good news is, as we read in the Gospel of John, I love this passage in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Remember this now. When you read the book of Genesis, who created the heavens and the earth? It says God did. God created. What does the scripture say to us? It says that He, in the beginning, He was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, was God. And through Him all things were made. It's saying that God took on human flesh. Praise the Lord for that. And what that says to us, what joy. What joy in terms of Christmas. Think about this. Here we are on this planet. And all the stuff that's going on. You know, there's wars and there's killings and there's, you know, there's tragedies and there's good times but a lot of bad times. And we look at all this and you say, wow, is this all there is? Is this what it's all about? Hurt and pain and suffering? And then you realize God became involved. Literally rolled up His sleeves and put on sandals through the incarnation of Christ. Became a part of our flesh and blood history. And He says, I want you to know what I'm like. And I want you to know that I care. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that I have done something about it. In the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Prepare a place. Isn't that amazing? Through the cross, through the resurrection, He makes it possible that sinful people can come into a right relationship with the Holy God. Wow, that's for us. That's the good news. See? And I hope when you think about Christmas, that just stirs your heart. You say, praise the Lord. You know, I think on the other side, how would you possibly know? How would you possibly have any kind of security in the sense of knowing that there is something more after death? How would you know that? You know, here, Brother Lee, you know, here's June. You know, she's died, and, you know, we have a big homecoming, literally a homecoming festivity, and yet this would be empty words if that's all we could say is, well, June has gone on. She's passed on. Passed on where? Where? What? To where? You know, because of Jesus. He's in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for her. Man, that's the spirit of Christmas. You know, isn't that great? Praise God for that. Now, as a result of that, we now enjoy new confidence because of Christmas. And look at verse 4. It says, dear children, you dear children are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Whew. Isn't that great? Here's the confidence. Basically, he's saying here, now look, you know, the confidence is that it assures us of a right relationship with God. The spirit of Christmas assures us of a right relationship with God. Because when you and I have invited Christ to come into our lives, we now know who we are. Dear children, you are from God. That's who we are. And then it says, because the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Because of what God has done, we can face life and situations and so forth. And all we're celebrating is not just some psychological hype. You know, one time around, you know, come around Christmas and supposed to get all excited and everything. Christmas is here and stresses out a lot of other people. In fact, Christmas is probably one of the worst times for many people because they feel so depressed. Because there's not a joy. There's so much pressure. There's so many, you know, expectations. And then they're all reminded of all the past of the families and kids and hurt relationships and so forth. You know what Christ gives to us? A new relationship. When we get beyond all the toys and all the stuff that we take on at Christmas time, we just set it all aside and we realize there is forgiveness. there is grace. There is God's love. Bitterness can be put away because the one who loved us now is the love who now dwells in us, who wants to love others through us. A new relationship with God. And not only that, it anticipates our victory over Satan. You know, you realize what he's saying here. The one that is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Greater than the one in the world. Satan has been defeated. Oh, yes, there's a lot of false teaching. We get quite a bit of following. There are religious cults and other religions, the occult, all deny the deity of Jesus. And these groups are growing. But I think what we need to come to grips with, as we look at Advent, Christ's coming, let's remember Advent in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Understand that a lot of these things are happening not to get us upset and disturbed. Matthew 24, Jesus reminds us, verse 6, he says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. He who stands firm to the end will be saved." You know, I read that, it's just a reminder to me. We need that spirit, that love, that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells in us. We need that reality, not just at Christmas. We need that throughout the year. Times will get tough, and we need to be reminded of that. Not because, you know, God is faltering or Jesus is failing. No, he said, "I keep my promises. Remember, I keep my word. But I got news for you. As I came once, I will come again. I will come again." That's where we anchor our confidence and our faith. So I say to you, yes, enjoy the holiday season. Have fun. Enjoy the festivities. But may the true spirit of Christmas be yours. As you keep your focus on the event of what God has given us in Jesus Christ, His birth. Perhaps the missing dimension in your search for the true Christmas spirit has been Jesus Christ Himself. Perhaps you've confessed a belief in Jesus but never invited Him as God's gift into your heart. If you've invited Him into your heart and you still miss a spirit, then all I can say is remember, Christ lives in you. And if you still are harboring bitterness and anger and hatred and all this kind of stuff, all I can say is let Him cleanse you. Let Him free you. As He has forgiven you, give your burdens and anger and so forth to the Lord. Let Him wash it. Let Him wash it. And may the joy, the true joy of Christ's Spirit be yours. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you. What a privilege just to be able to share together the essence of what Christmas is all about. Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate. Thank you we can have a good time in festivities. But Lord, we also realize that it's all about you. And Father, we just pray that you will just continue to bless and strengthen and encourage each of us in our walk with you and with each other. And Lord, we want your name to be lifted up. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, as we present you our tithes and our offerings, we ask also that you will bless gifts and the givers. And Lord, may our giving be a response to what your wonderful gift means to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.